WICN in Worcester, this is the Venture Forum, tales of entrepreneurship from central Massachusetts. I'm your host, Mark Reed Edwards, Executive Director of the Venture Forum. Now let's start today's tale. This week's guest on the Venture Forum is Kam Intharath, founder and CEO of InThink Agency. Kam has more than 20 years in marketing and branding and is also co-host of the Vulnerable Entrepreneurs podcast. InThink Agency is a hybrid marketing and business consultancy based right here in the Worcester area. InThink helps businesses achieve growth through ROI-based marketing, sales, and customer success innovation. Kam concentrates on enterprise growth for local to international companies. Kam, it's great to have you on the Venture Forum.
I'm very excited to be here. Thank you for having me, Mark.
Can you share a bit more about your background and career that led you to found InThink?
Yeah, when I graduated college, I went to Providence College. I was doing some branding and direct marketing of products. And then I got into the tech with Sharp, if you guys remember the brand Sharp.
Oh, yeah.
Doing some office solutions. You know, I've always had an interest in tech. Then a friend of mine said, hey, there's an opening up for Verizon Yellow Pages. And at that time, that was the job and the gig to have. People wouldn't leave that place unless they retired.
Mm-hmm.
If you can remember the Yellow Pages, believe it or not, right? So that really got me into understanding advertising and branding and messaging. And as times evolved, digital marketing was becoming important, and Verizon changed different names to IDARC and Dex Media. They started collaborating and buying digital marketing agencies to adapt to the needs of the business owner. And they started an agency model that I was a beta group with, and I got a taste of what agency life was, and really started getting into digital marketing and understanding SEO and Google ads and social media, all that stuff was happening. So to see it to what it is today, and I haven't looked back. That was the bug I got. But I saw the progression from print Yellow Pages to now.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing about Yellow Pages, it was a very sophisticated operation. It was kind of old world, but the Yellow Pages knew so much about so many businesses.
Oh, we had call tracking. I mean, you have an ad, and direct mail still works today. This ad, and it's very intentional, the placement of a word, a photo, the size of it. These are some core fundamental skill sets that I still carry over to helping business with branding and positioning in the stuff that we do. Because even for a digital ad, you're still applying those types of skill sets.
A lot of the disciplines that feel like they're ancient still work today.
Correct.
So you have a business here in the Worcester area, and I want to know what makes Worcester and Central Massachusetts special for you. Do you have a story? You went to Providence College, a great college down in Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. But here you are in the Worcester area.
I met my beautiful wife at Providence College. Her family grew up in Worcester. She was born in Worcester. And when we got married, we were okay. I was still kind of working in Rhode Island at that time. So we moved to Central Mass. I was in Northbridge. And then once I started the agency, I was this is my backyard. And my backyard is Worcester. So I'm committed to my community and giving back to my community. So we put our headquarters in Worcester because that was the metro and the main pillar, I think, for this area. My wife and her family, they have a lot of history here in Worcester. So they would tell me stories. And her grandfather actually even has a monument from World War II right on Shrewsbury Street near the park there. So they have a lot of ties here to Worcester. So I just feel like I have a commitment and a natural gravitation to be doing more in Worcester.
But when you started your business, you could have located it anywhere. But why did you choose Central Massachusetts as your focus?
Yeah, I think a lot of people sometimes just gravitate towards, hey, I'm in Massachusetts, I'm going to go to Boston.
Right.
I think that's I graduated, and I heard a lot of my friends after they graduated college, they went to work for Boston. I had the same kind of pull. I was working in the Boston area. I lived in Woburn before I got married, but when I did, I moved to Worcester, and I saw it was a very different type of culture. There's just this feeling of acceptance, but also pride. It's a very different feel because you have a lot of traditional, but you have transformational and modernization and an evolution that's happening. The new generations that are gonna build Worcester, and then as you look at it more, Worcester is central to everything. No, and it has all the necessary components to become or compete easily with Boston. So, and it's untouched. It wasn't like, you know, from a business standpoint, having my agency, I'm not vying to compete with all these folks in Boston. I don't need to. There's so much opportunity here and businesses that need our help here that it was easy and a no-brainer for us to continue and keep working on. And we haven't looked back. You know, it's still I still feel the same about it now. Like, you know, we're doing a lot of great things here.
Yeah. So I want to learn more about that agency that you just described. It's called InThink. Can you tell me the types of clients you serve and the kind of work you do for those clients?
Yeah, we serve all different types of clients. You know, we have nonprofits. We work with manufacturers, professional services, education, all different sizes, you know, as small as $1 million in revenue and to 200. Really, at the end of the day, they're saying, hey, Com, we're looking to get more brand awareness or awareness of our service, our offering, our gala, and we need to increase revenue, sales. Those are really the two main things that we see all the time. An example, we did a video series for the American Cancer Society, and we asked them, like, okay, what are you trying to accomplish here? I'm sure they've done tons of marketing, Mark. They've had a lot of people, a lot of different agencies help them out. So I just try to ask to the core. I go, what's the challenge that you're facing, and what are you hearing that you need to really educate or give a better lens to? And they said, people don't understand where their money goes. No, there's a misconception that the money goes to the wrong place or it goes to executives or it's not utilized well. So I said, well, let's do a video that says follow the dollar. What happens when you invest a dollar? And we showed all the different people from the driver, you know, to bring someone to the cancer center, to the houses that they stay in, to the researchers and doctors, to the family members, to the kids, and it told this whole story where how impactful $1 brings and how all these people internally and externally you're affecting in a positive way. That video helped increase 40% engagement. They never seen that much lift before. When she told me that over the phone, I thought she said 4%, which is still a pretty big lift.
I think, okay, that's good.
I'm like, 4%? You know, she goes, no, Com, 40%. Yeah. And then it got national, because we work with the local branch in Boston. Then the national saw this, and they took it. And, yeah, we got millions of views from it. So we knew that we had something there because it's helping these businesses. That's one case study. But really, our job is to look at the whole buyer's journey for any of the business clients that we have, because that's what's happening no matter what business you're doing. You're trying to figure out how are we removing roadblocks to create a buyer's journey that's seamless, that's frictionless, so that you can have better conversations, have conversations. And by us finding these roadblocks that we're removing to create a better digital experience, you know, we had some clients tell us they had 400% conversion rates, much faster. And their average sale ticket has gone up by 50%, because you're creating such a good experience, people are willing to spend more with you. So these are just some examples.
Yeah. So what kind of process do you apply to that? When someone comes to you with a problem, our engagement is down, or our brand awareness is not where it should be. What's the process that you apply? Do you have kind of patented processes you use with your clients?
I don't know if it's patented. Just over the years, we started to see that it's more than just marketing. There's a lot of like business layers here. You have to really understand what the business is doing from, you know, we call it the six pillars. So what we're seeing is we break into these categories, these pillars. It's operations, yeah, technology, mm-hmm, customer success, marketing, creative, you know, and I think I said operations, right? Yeah. So strategy. So, you know, so technology, operations, customer success, strategy, marketing, creative. You know, so by understanding those, you can then know, okay, I need to do my website over now. I need to do a blog or a video, or a better piece of sales collateral, or I need to create, you know, a chat bot that'll create a better customer experience for people. So we have to really look at the business as a whole, how they operate, so that they're creating a better experience.
Yeah. And do you specialize in a certain type of media, or could you do social media? Do you do video? Do you do podcasts? Tell me about the capabilities of your agency.
When we first started, we were an SEO company. Then we became an inbound marketing company. We started layering other services like website design, branding, of course, social media, and then podcasting is something new. Because to us, podcasting is like the new blogging. Like that's people are you're seeing a really big boom in audio and even video. You see more and more YouTube channels. So we can pretty much do anything that's digital, but we also can do print. We have clients that do billboards, traditional things like radio, mailers, and we will align all of those campaigns together because they might come and find you through a direct mail piece, then check you out on your website. And then they might validate, if they care about culture, they might check you out on social media and then say, okay, I like what these guys are doing. I'm going to hire them. So we have to make sure all these offline and online types of strategies are working together with a harmony.
Yeah. How has the last year been? It's been a tough business environment in the pandemic, but how have you gotten through that? I know you a little bit. You're a very positive person. Do you think that helped you navigate the waters over the last year?
I mean, as an entrepreneur and as a leader, people, you got to be the rock, right? I mean, you can be vulnerable. We have a podcast, like you said earlier, The Vulnerable Entrepreneur, and it's okay to be vulnerable, but they're looking at you to lead. So I had to keep my bearings. I had to make sure I had confidence, but it wasn't fake confidence. Like I had to come up with a solution. Like we were nervous, like everyone else, come March. What are we gonna do? We had hospitality clients, which we knew right away they were immediately gonna cut their budget. So we had clients in certain industries that we just knew everyone's scaling back. We need to be prepared. What would happen? We had a whole bunch of sales in the pipeline that completely halted because people, again, I get it. We had to do it too. Like, what do we need to do here to kind of buckle down and kind of work on what's important and then focus our efforts on the right things to bring value still? It's not about selling, but like, how can we still bring value to businesses that still need marketing more so than now? And digital experience. We saw a huge transition of like, okay, I need to update my website because that's where everyone was going, right? People kind of were used to the referrals and doing business that way, but realize we have to do this, quote unquote, digital transformation. You're hearing a lot of people saying that. So our agency was set up for that success, but of course we lost. So it was a swing of the pendulum, and luckily, we survived, right? We got through it, and believe it or not, we actually had our largest revenue in sales. However, we were growing at such a fast rate that, I had to double check how our operation is running, still running a business. And I think we were not as efficient in operations. So our margins were a lot less, even though we had more sales. I mean, there's a lot more to it, right? As an entrepreneur, there's so many moving pieces. It's not just the sales side. It's also culture. People are stressed. People are getting burnt out. You have to understand be empathetic and sympathetic of folks who have kids or they have someone that's ill in their family. So there's a lot of things happening when you're trying to run a business because you also got to be a human being. And we learned through it. And I think we learned it together. I think I was really kind of open and honest with my team to say, here's where we're at. And people stepped up. It was great to see people step up and say, if this happens, I'm willing to cut some hours. Hey, let's do some of these fun activities on Zoom since we're kind of remote. This is where we still can build culture. Let's create some fun Slack channels. Slack is an instant messenger platform, so we use it to connect with each other quickly. Let's create some a wellness channel and a foodie channel so we can share like things that you would have a conversation with people if you walk by them, in an office space. We wanted to try to recreate that virtually using Slack. So there was a lot of changes that happened last year for us. But I know at the end of the day, Mark, we were one of the fortunates to get through it.
Yeah, good. I want to just chat briefly about the name of your podcast, The Vulnerable Entrepreneur. And you referenced it. Being vulnerable doesn't mean you're weak. It means you're open, right? That you you are open to other opinions, and it's an interesting name that you chose.
Yeah, my co-host is Sean Riley. You know, he's the one of the principals at Wrath Capital, and you know, we got to know each other over time, and we've done some work together, and we would just have lunch, and you know, we'll chat about just work. And being as an entrepreneur, you can kind of feel like you're on this island by yourself. You know, so he is a great friend, great mentor, a good soundboard. And we were just talking about some of the scary stuff. If it's concerns about finances, concerns about team members, you know, balance, you know, people call it work-life balance, or like how, you know, dealing with spouses, and just a lot of the hard conversations that you can't find out there. And I said, let's just put this on a podcast. No expectations. We're not trying to monetize it. Let's just put it out there, because I didn't have any type of resource when I started my agency. You know, I didn't have anyone that I felt like I can look up to that was going through what I was going through. So for me, like, if Sean and I can put out content and it affects somebody, one or two people, awesome.
Yeah. So you're an entrepreneur, and you are part of the Venture Forum. You're on the executive committee of the Venture Forum, where you get the opportunity to help other entrepreneurs. Why is that so important to you? Why is entrepreneurship so important to you?
Going back to like what I said earlier, I didn't have resources or mentors, and I think by being part of the Venture Forum. And what the Venture Forum does, their purpose is like having resources and experts that you can lean on. You're not alone. You know, like, I think you're a sum really of the people that you surround yourself. I think your success and what you become is you surround yourself with these people that you aspire to be, or take their best traits. And, you know, I want to help other entrepreneurs find these types of resources and mentors, because, you know, we can't be on this island. You know, we got to, I like to say, rising tides lift all boats. So, you know, that's my passion. You know, it's almost like a rite of passage too. You know, being an entrepreneur, because there's a lot of things that some people don't understand, and you can try to explain it to people, but it's one thing to hear about it. It's another thing to actually live it and feel it. And how there's a connection when you can just see it in the tone when you're talking to other entrepreneurs. Or in their eyes when you get to them to their level, so I want to give back and pay it forward, however I can, and I know that the Venture Forum is a way to do that.
That's great, and I hear this over and over again from people who are involved in entrepreneurship that giving back is really important to them, because everybody had a mentor. Everybody had help to get started. So giving back is the best way to kind of pay it forward.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
We'll be back in a moment to take a peek into the future with Calm, founder and CEO of InThick Agency. So stay tuned. Back with Calm Inthirath, founder and CEO of InThink Agency. Calm, can you share a few case studies of the work you've done? And also maybe share a bit more about the approach you take with your clients. You mentioned the American Cancer Society earlier and some of the great work you did with them. Do you have any other stories you could share?
Yeah, and we're seeing, of course, you know, with marketing and branding, it's the long game. You know, SEO, content, you know, you got to build brand. You really have to establish your brand and authority to kind of create this demand gen, but that takes time. We created this newer hyper-focus immediate, you know, we might call it a quick win program in January this year, because we're, you know, a lot of businesses says we need to see results now. So what we look at is the sales cycle. So really understanding like what's happening in the sales cycle from the top, middle to the end, because you could bring in leads from marketing, but if there's some type of roadblock that's happening in the sales cycle, that can kill a deal. All that hard work, right? So we actually helped one of our clients cut their sales cycle down by 80%. And what we did there was we created forms on their website that pre-qualified their prospects. So asking the right questions that are very intentional versus high level, so that if they took the time to answer these questions, they were committed. And by answering the question the right way, or the way that, you know, the salesperson says, okay, this is a qualified person, now they're teed up for success. They already knew the expectation of what this prospect needs and what the challenge is. So when they have that call, it's hopefully set up for success. That's on the salesperson side. On the prospect end, we try to create video content or educational content so that when they come to the website or they're finding information about our client, they're already understanding the value and the benefits of how they're going to fix the challenges that they're facing. So these prospects are teed up. The conversations are a formality. So instead of you trying to convince someone on a sales call and you're educating them on your product and service, that's happening offline. That's happening prior to the sales call. So that's why sales cycles are cutting down up to 80%, because we're doing things that, you know, it's scalable, and some of it is definitely automated. So that's one client. Another client of ours is a consultant firm, and they have some complex proposals, right? They also have complex conversations because they're dealing with human capital. They're consultants for helping, you know, grow teams. So there's a lot of dynamics there when you're dealing with people, and how do you grow a team? And I asked him what was some of the challenges he had. He said, well, you know, when we're doing a proposal, sometimes they have to share this proposal with multiple people, and I'm not there to articulate that. I might have spoken to the HR department head, but not the CEO, and then, you know, the sales manager. So I said, well, use a tool like Loom, L-O-O-M, Loom. It's a recording, video recording tool. And he started creating these videos and explaining, you know, the value of the work and the project and the scope. And now he has a recording that he can actually track if someone opens it up. And he's articulating his value without having trusting this HR department head to regurgitate that conversation. So he saw over 400% conversion because of that. And that was the example I gave a little earlier. He saw an average sale increase of 50% because he created such a great experience. When he asked for the sale, he was able to not have to negotiate because people knew exactly they're getting a premium product because the experience was premium.
It sounds like you're taking a kind of fresh approach to being an agency. And, you know, I've been in marketing for a long time, and the agency world has really been disrupted over the past decade or so. How do you envision agencies like yours, or agencies bigger than yours, smaller than yours, working in the future? Is there more disruption on the way?
We're seeing a lot of consolidation. You know, I think even like a huge ad agencies are, which own like multiple brands underneath them, like these big ad agencies, these global companies, they own PR companies, they own video production companies, and you see these PR companies that fall under that mother brand are dabbling into video, and then are dabbling into SEO, and also there's this cannibalization. So we're seeing like this consolidation of, like, you know, maybe we need to combine our services and either come out as the mother brand or come out as another brand. So we're definitely seeing a difference in the agency world. We're also seeing agencies having to really understand holistic marketing. Like, you, of course, there's value if you specialize in paid media or you specialize in social media, but that person has to also have the knowledge to say, yes, we do social media, but we also got to make sure that, you know, you're doing video, so we got to align you with a video production company, or they do it in-house. But then we have to make sure that we're doing some SEO work, and we're looking at your website for user experience, because if they come to social media, they're landing on the site. So we need to advise you on your site and how the user experience flows. So that's web design, right? That's UX design. So agencies are now forced to really have to understand and kind of be a generalist enough to know it, so that they can, if they choose to still be a social media company, to justify where their niche falls in the journey. But if they can provide more services along the journey, then, you know, potentially they can make more revenue.
Yeah. So let's turn the focus back to Central Massachusetts. What do you think about the future of entrepreneurship in Central Massachusetts? Where is it headed?
Very hopeful. You see, I talk to a lot of, you know, startups and just even other entrepreneurs that have been around for several years, and you know, Worcester is primed. It's booming. It's one of the most popular metros in the country, and even the kids coming out of school, like they're eager to try entrepreneurship, which is amazing. Even my daughter, who's 7 years old, she wants to have a YouTube channel and talk about food. Yeah. Like it's a different world, you know. And Central Mass too, everything's just so accessible. It's a big enough metro, but it feels small enough where you can find resources, you can connect and network with people that are very influential and helpful. So it's like the perfect storm of a lot of the right ingredients for Worcester to be really be reckoned with. And it's definitely getting put on the map year after year.
And we're getting a baseball team?
Yes. Yep.
But it came from your old stomping grounds down in Rhode Island.
Yeah, it used to be the Pawtucket Red Sox. I talked to some friends down there, joking with them. I was like, "How did you guys feel about that?" And you know, they're heartbroken. It's a big part of their identity down there. But now we got them, right? So I think all the pieces are coming together here in Worcester.
Yeah, it should be exciting to watch. You know, the development around that ballpark will be fun. And, you know, we've got friends at Work Lab and Technocopia in the printers building, and at WICN, where this show airs, is right in that building. And it's right across the way from Polar Park. It should be so much fun to watch.
It's just going to pull the community together, you know, from just folks who live in the area to professionals who are in the area. Because you hear a lot about the work-life balance, right? And I think having something like that, it's just life. Like, I think life just improves with all the things that are happening around us. And this, the ball field is going to enhance that lifestyle for everyone.
Well, thank you for joining me on the Venture Forum, Com. It was a really enjoyable discussion.
Happy to be on the show anytime.
Thanks so much. I'm Mark Reed Edwards. We'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Venture Forum from WICN in Worcester. Join us next week as we continue to share tales of entrepreneurship from Central Massachusetts.